You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE is closed, it's also another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight, the 5 o'clock shadow is populated by one Skalk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. Trust me, Skalk, that little nervous laughter there was indeed that, a nervous laugh, because this time last week, you were jumping through hoops, you were snapping sugar lumps off your nose like a seal at the zoo, and you were very happy about SA Inc.
I blame you.
Okay.
You were innocent bystander in this market, not participating, you know, in the market. I should have known when you announced you actually buy gold. I mean, I had to know.
Gold on Monday at 19:05. For about 36 hours, I was $2.50 to $3 up, and now I can't even look at my screen because you know what's happening. Anyone that's got a portfolio and it's showing profits at the moment on this afternoon and they're short-term traders or medium-term traders will say, I'm going to take those profits and we're going to get out of this one in order to pay the bills on the NASDAQ and the S&P and the Dow Jones and the All Share. And so they're selling gold and I've suffered because of it. So just like Mr. Trump, I blame someone else, not me.
Well, we're sitting literally, what, 5-6 days, you know, before the US elections.
Yes.
This can't be a coincidence. Yes, I know it's, you know, a flare up and, you know, US elections can't see to, you know, Merkel, or let's call it Germany, closing up restaurants and those things for a month. It's sort of, you know, everything just comes together and it's just bam, it's been hit, you know, currently in the market. But this is horrible.
This is
a similar type of movement that we've seen, let's call it that period end of February, you know, just before the whole world sort of went to a shutdown or lockdown. And I think, you know, to your point on the gold, and I think just something to mention, we do see the dollar index not running, you know, but it's 40 basis points stronger, you know, trading 40 basis points stronger. A very similar movement that we've seen. Remember, you know, if we it's funny when you talk about a history lesson and you only go back to, you know, February this year. But here's a little history lesson. So pretty much, you know, the 30th of January this year, the US basically, they announced that the whole COVID thing and called it a pandemic. And it was a national disaster. And that saw, you know, that short period of time, we actually saw, you know, the dollar, for a short period, it actually weakened a little bit, but it rocketed. It rocketed up around about, let's call it the 93 levels up to, you know, let's call it 102, 103 levels. So that was a very, very strong period. That's the period just shy of the lows in the market. Also over that period, gold, as you just alluded to, also took a bit of a hammering, because we tend to forget that when we look at the demand for gold, although gold, I always call it the fear factor investor. Yeah. You want to be invested in gold when fear is sort of among us. And everybody would say, but look at the fear among us. Why are we not seeing gold running? But that's a similar scenario. Remember, 50%, a little bit over 50% of the demand of gold, you know, when we look at the past 10 years, you know, come from jewelry. You know, who's going to be buying jewelry if this called recession, you know, deepened?
So, Skalk, I mean, never mind the fundamentals. The short-term point is, as I said in my introduction, that people that are long of gold are looking at their portfolio and saying, well, I'm long of gold and I'm more or less breaking even, so let me get out of that so I can pay my losses on the S&P, the NASDAQ, the Dow Jones, the All Share Index, the DAX, the FTSE, the Nikkei Dow tomorrow morning, the Hang Seng, et cetera, et cetera. So they're freeing up liquidity. This is an opportunity to buy gold, I think, but it's horrible at 1875. And well done to David Shapiro for telling me yesterday, and I completely ignored him, saying the gold shares are going to lead the gold price lower. And he was absolutely right. And did I listen to him? No, of course I didn't. But I'm going to... I'm going to run this one because I got it wrong on the rand. I stopped myself out on the rand at 16.25. I was short the rand at 16.75. I stopped myself out after 50 cents. And now look at it. I would be back in the game again at 16.35 to 16.40. I'm not going to do the same thing with gold. I still think it's going back above 2,000. I've hijacked your interview. Tell me about the midterm budget policy statement. What did it mean for you and what did it mean for stocks that you hold?
Well, I think in general, when we look at the medium-term budget speech, and let's just put it out there, you know, this, let's call it movement that we'll be talking about, sort of as the intro, is a movement as a total risk-off movement. This is investors moving back into the greenback. They are worried currently. So if we didn't see this type of movement in the market, this risk-off movement type of the market, I think – I would say this is, you know, fairly, you know, modestly positive medium-term budget. Not positive in the sense that, you know, it's looking great. You know, when we look at you know, the figures that he was talking about, the debt levels that we will be going into, you know, the 95% debt to GDP levels that we're going to move into the next 5 years, I think he did it when one stage stopped and he said, I just want to, you know, repeat, that is basically 100%, you know, of our GDP. But that was sort of expected. So it's not new news. And I think in general, when I look at the budget speech, let's call it again, the intent was there. You can see he was speaking about the ratings agencies. So clearly they're looking at the late ratings agencies and their guidance. And I think, you know, the speech he's given today would most part probably just keep the wolves from the door, you know, the S&P and the Moody's ratings agencies for now. I don't think we should see a further re-rating or downward rating on what we've heard. Looking at the Rand's response, you know, what he said, and we'll touch on a few things what Tito said. I don't think there was a lot of movement when we opened this morning. Remember, we closed just shy of 16 rand 20 to the dollar last night. 16.90.
And it was 16.05 at one stage during thin trading yesterday as well. So let's call it 16.05 to on the extreme to the upside for the rand. To the downside, it almost touched 16.50 today, I think it was. So that's a really big move.
When did that happen? That happened more or less the time when we saw this, you know, serious sell-off. Because over that same period, we also saw the Russian ruble went from, you know, a loss today, around about, let's call it the 1.6-1.7% mark. Over that same period, the Russian ruble also went to a 3% loss for today. Yes. So back to the South African rand, you know, I actually, you know, looked at the levels literally as Tito started to speak, and that stage was trading at 16.32, just to be exactly. And it went up, as you alluded to during the speech, up to very close to, well, or even over 16.50, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But now trading back to 16.32. So in general, I think if for all the traders out there looking at the medium-term budget speech, trying to find a reason why that would be the reason why the rand, you know, weakened today, you're looking at the wrong space. I think the right space to be looking at is a total market sell-off. Let's call it the total risk-off scenario. So I think, you know, things that stood out, you know, as I tweeted earlier, I think, you know, the thing that stood out, government currently, you know, are borrowing, you know, 2.1 billion rand at a rate of 2.1 billion rand a day. That is crazy to think about it. Yes, they are still, you know, because you remember that movie in the 70s, Little Shop of Horrors, you know, feed me, Seymour. And I sort of, you know, they are going to feed this beast or feed this monster, namely SAA, which I still don't know if that's the right thing, but needless to say, they are going to feed this, but they mentioned that they're not going to feed any of the other state enterprises, the SABCs and so forth. So I think to extent that was a sort of a sweet and sour. Other things that I think stood out was that the planned adjustments, you know, on Regulation 28 on the Pension Fund Act. For those listeners out there that don't know what Regulation 28 of the Pension Fund Act, that's the guidelines which all pension funds, you know, registered pension
funds, how much money you can invest overseas, essentially.
Correct. with how much you can invest overseas, which is up to 30% now, more or less. There is some ifs and buts.
Yeah, free it up to 50%, for goodness sake. I mean, we've got a shrinking local market. We need to go overseas. But anyway, let's not talk about that now. Let's have a look at the spot prices, because this provides a useful backdrop to the next few minutes of our conversations. Dollar rand is 16.34. British pound against the rand is 21.24. And the euro rand is 19.18, with the euro dollar 1.1740, which is a 0.9% rally for the US dollar. And if we go across my screen to the commodities part, that's why the gold price is down. Gosh. I don't know why you're laughing at my misfortune. But anyway, we'll talk about that off air. The gold price is 1876.
You're going to hit me again, right? You're going to hit me again.
1876, down $23 an ounce. Horrible, down 1.2%. The platinum price is 870, which is down, but only down $9 an ounce. Where's palladium, please, Skulk?
Yeah, palladium's down 4%. So while I was laughing, the reason why I was actually laughing is because while you're down 1.6%, in gold today, you could have been invested in silver. Silver is down close to 6%.
Or a South African stock, for example. We'll come to those in a moment, which you were lauding last week. But anyway, you had three good days, Skulk. West Texas is down 5.5% at $37.39. That's the crude oil price, of course. Brent crude oil is $39.16, first time below 40 for quite a while, down $2.04 per barrel, or nearly 5%. And that is very, very significant to me. I mean, obviously, people press the sell button on these desks and the algos kick in, etc. But it does tell you that there is no demand for oil at the moment, and more supply as countries need that oil revenue coming in. So it's very, very interesting. The South African government bond we haven't looked at today, and we should do. It's 9.32% for the 10-year. It was around about 9.24, 9.25 throughout the afternoon. But with the overseas markets going risk off, we are now down, about 7 basis points, or 0.75%. What else have you seen today, Skulk? I mean, let's have a look at, give me the Dow, the S&P and the Nasdaq live, please.
Yeah, that's a shocker. As well, we're currently looking at a Dow Jones that's literally just gone beyond or over the -3% for today. S&P 500 is flirting currently, just also went below the 3,300 mark, now down 2.92%, and the Nasdaq over 3% down. So yeah, shocking. And the VIX, had a little
40% nearly,
correct? Massive spike on that side. So
I guess bought it at 26.8, by the way.
Oh, well done, well done.
Thank you very much.
This sort of
makes up for my gold losses. Okay, let's have a look at the stocks that have done badly today on the JSE and done well. Let's start with the good ones. Aspen, really, really good performance considering what's going on elsewhere, up 1.7%. Mediclinic up 0.08%. You know when it's a bad day when one of the big winners is a stock that's only up 0.08%, and then you've got Prosus also up very slightly, 0.05%. So nothing on the upside. On the downside, here are the glamorous ones. Northern Platinum down nearly, just over 8%. Impala Platinum down 7.75%. Anglo-American Platinum down 7.7%. Both industrial metals, let's not forget this. Momentum Metropolitan down 7.6%, and Nepi Rockcastle down 7.1%. You've obviously got a lot more on the negative list. Give me your negatives as well, please, Skulk.
Well, Sasol, you mentioned with the oil price now trading below $40 again, and you were mentioning it's a massive drop, and not just a massive drop in terms of percentages, but also a massive drop psychological, because I got that feeling, investors were sort of protecting that $40 mark, constantly protecting that $40 mark, and today it just cut through it like a hot knife through butter. Yeah, so naturally Sasol, even with the weaker rand, trading down 7.1%, now trading 85.69. I mean, this is a share that's not too long ago that rocked it up to the 160 rand level. So for those investors that bought there, they pretty much lost close to 50% of their investment now in a very, very short period of time.
Yeah, it's been a bad day, Skulk. But is it a moment in time, or is it everybody suddenly sitting down and saying, okay, it's Wednesday, There's an election coming up. I don't like either of the candidates. There's trade wars still lurking in the background. There's COVID-19 cases spiking. And don't forget, it's only the 28th of October. We're not even into proper winter yet in the Northern Hemisphere. So that's going to get much worse and put a strain on resources, and people will panic. Whether they're panicking for the right reasons or not, we don't yet know. I still can't get a definitive answer on that. But anyway, the point is there's been a concatenation of circumstances that have come together, and I think people have just pressed the sell button, and maybe it'll continue, maybe it won't. I don't know. Give me your opinion, please.
Well, I think the one thing, you know, we can have this debate of if this is the start of something bigger, which it could very much be, you know, because remember, we've seen this has been the sharpest recovery after a 30% crash in the market ever. We've never seen this type of recovery ever. So maybe a little bit premature, maybe a bit too quick. One can argue, but you know, to know where this is going, you know, would sort of be a guess. What I do know, and I've said this for the past month or two, you know, I think Trump is not just holding thumbs; he's doing rain dances. He's doing everything, you know, possible to just see that we don't firstly see a flare up in COVID. We don't see a crash in the market, because the one thing. Well, let's call it the two things that first is going for and against him. For him, he's been the president that saw one of the biggest bull markets in the U.S. market, and that was a big positive. The other thing that we've seen this year was the focus on him being sort of blasé about COVID-19. You know,
yes.
What did Trevor Noah made a nice little clip yesterday, which like Trevor always is, you know, extremely funny. But it was just sort of, again, what COVID type of scenario. And he also tweeted this clip of a typical, you know, his rally and, you know, a social distant Biden rally. And I just look at it and say, this is the worst thing you can be doing currently, Trump. You mean your biggest enemy is any flare up in COVID. So I think the repercussions for Trump is, you know, especially now this close, prior to the elections, if we see a further drop in the U.S. market over the next how many working days there's going to be? We've still got tomorrow. We've got
two more days.
Friday. Yeah, so tomorrow and Friday, that's it. So if we see, you know, a further sell-off over the next 2 days, and we see further spikes in COVID, especially in the U.S., I think Trump is going to be in trouble. No matter, you know, how many people say, you know, don't matter, don't worry about the polls. Just look at what the polls look like prior to him and Hillary going into. This is not good for Trump. Then one should be asking the question, what do life after Trump or, you know, with Biden look like? And I would still think that I would be feeding Seymour, namely feeding your investment in gold for now, because you said it yesterday. You saw a consolidation between, let's call it this 1850, you know, 1900 on the gold.
Yes.
And you know, if Biden should win this, I think, you know, initially we should not see a main big difference, but. Consensus are that dollar will weaken further. If dollar weaken further, we might just see gold get north of 2,000 very soon.
Okay. And NASDAQ futures down 3.25%. S&P futures down exactly 3%. It's going to be a rocky next few hours. Skulklow, thanks so much for your analysis. That's Skulklow, who is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth. And Skulk will be back with me for the opening tomorrow morning. It's going to be a long night. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.